What'd you just say?
I'm nervous. I just came downstairs and you're like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? I'm like, oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. Lacey here, everybody.
Hello.
Say three things about yourself.
Oh, my gosh. So much pressure. I'm Kat's assistant. I live in Manhattan Beach.
And podcast producer
now. Oh, my gosh. I'm a podcast producer.
Last week you were helping me with babies and today you're a podcast producer. What's next week?
You know, we've really never know. We are always just kind of flying by the seat of our pants around here.
Really, truly. In the same pants, usually.
And we always look alike. We're dressed alike almost every day.
We're becoming the same human. You guys, I am having Lacey join me because one, she's wonderful and she is my lifeline.
Thank you.
And I would love to have her come on more and help me with these AMAs. And I want to interview you sometime with everyone's questions, what it's like working with me.
I would love that.
That'll be actually hilarious. But we had a different episode and we had some like audio corruption. And so now we're recording this instead, which we have so many AMAs.
So many good ones.
Yeah. And I feel like we're due for this and it's about to pour. There's a weird noise happening down here and the rain is going to definitely be loud. But one of the goals of the podcast is to not have it be so polished. Lacey will tell you, like, I always just want things to be so good for you guys that I get so sad when it's not good quality.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, do you guys care about quality? Or are you okay with
that? Do you care if there's a rainstorm in the background? Is that okay?
Well, we have no option because this is for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the episode for tomorrow is not coming. So, but okay, a couple questions so everyone feels comfortable with my co-host today.
Yes.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Yeah.
I actually love a good blue.
I didn't know that. I would have said like beige.
Oh, really? That's because that's all we wear. We wear white and tan. And that's it. That is our attire.
We're going to be adding color into our lives this year. Both Lacey and I love fashion and love getting dressed up. So that is one of the goals.
I love that.
And what is your favorite part of working with me, if you have a favorite
honestly
part?
Probably the best part is we never know what the day is going to entail.
Oh my god, I mean, I've already, how many times have I cried today?
Just a couple.
You're like, are you okay? I'm like,
everything's fine. I mean, we always just are kind of doing what we can to make it through a day, and it's hilarious.
I actually don't know what I would have done without you for... Oh, yeah. How long have you worked with me?
It'll be 2 years in May.
Wow.
I know.
That's so good.
It's so crazy. It's flown by.
I like how I'm asking you, like, I don't know, but I actually, like, couldn't really think.
You're like, wait, when's our anniversary?
Yeah, we just never know, but it's usually, like, really, really exciting, and then some days, you know, things happen, but... Okay, we're going to get into it. I feel like I like want to ask one more question. But yeah, how close do you live to my house?
I live about 5 blocks and most days I drive because sometimes I just can't be bothered to walk 10 minutes.
We're going to have a really fun episode when I interview her about like how we met, who introduced us and our day-to-day together. It'll be a great episode.
It's going to be a good one.
And we'll take all your questions and she will answer everything like super candidly.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. So I wanted to share. Oh, Brian just walked in to our podcast studio.
Our studio.
Yes, serious,
which
man.
I know.
I've been checking at the front desk and, you know, going through security. And
it actually is high security here. He just took a picture of us that we will share. But,
and we are wearing beige and white.
And we're wearing beige and white. As many of you know, this past year has been a whirlwind. And I feel like I wanted to have the podcast going even postpartum. I told Lacey, I'm like, yeah, a few weeks in and then I'll have it go. And then it's been a lot. It's so, I just feel like now is a really good time to bring the podcast back, connect with all of you more. And again, have it be less polished. I think I was like so nervous coming out with a podcast and listening to other podcasts and knowing how high production they are, you know, they're filmed in like these amazing studios and big media companies. And I'm like, I have to live up to that. But I think the biggest thing that is important, I assume, is for all of us just to connect. And so I'm kind of trying to let go of that perfection this year. I take a big deep breath because that's going to be really hard for me. I'm like, wait, what about, what's that weird sound? She just came down. I'm like, there's a fan going on upstairs.
You got this.
But I thank you all so much for the messages, the text messages, the encouragement. I just love that you all understand that we go through so many chapters and seasons. And this past even year and a half, even 2 years has been like such an interesting season of life and IVF and pregnancy and change and evolving. And then also taking a, you don't always have to be evolving too. You can take time to pause. Because in those moments of pause, or I think of it as like a slingshot, you take a step back and you can really evaluate what you want in your future and what you want for your family and what you want for your life and your happiness and your mental health. And so I don't want you to always feel like go, 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 go. And that you always have to know everything or have it all figured out. And then actually we put together a great post on livebeautifully.com.
Yeah.
Lacey helped a lot with that, which was like slow resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a calendar right away, right?
No, yeah. I actually didn't have a calendar until second week.
I forgot you were raging over Christmas.
You know what? We had a lot of holiday parties, a wedding. It's busy.
It's impossible to actually plan 365 days after like holidays through, and you had a wedding on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
So on like New Year's Day, there's just no way.
I was on a flight on New Year's Day. I wasn't making my resolutions on American Airlines.
With the wine shakes.
Exactly. It was not happening.
You can't plan your year with the wine shakes.
No.
But it happens to all of us. And Slow Resolutions is up right now on livebeautifully.com. And it's really great because you can just, you know, it's not too late. A year is a year, but there's always tomorrow. So, okay, we're going to go right into the questions. And I don't know what she's going to ask, but today's theme is more the business and branding, which we have a lot of other categories that people ask questions, which we will do more AMAs that are around categories. So today's more business and branding and probably a little motherhood mixed in there, you said?
A little bit of motherhood, life, entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Okay. Here All we right. go.
Let's do this.
I can't believe you're, she jumped right in.
I can't believe I'm here either. All right, here we go.
I'm sure you're just happy that we're recording.
I'm thrilled. All right, first question. This one is from Lori. Mm-hmm. If you could go back as an entrepreneur, what would you do differently?
Wow. Ooh, yeah. I know we're supposed to live without regrets, but I actually would change a lot. But I think that the biggest thing about entrepreneurship is learning from your mistakes. And so I think it's actually really important to have people that you can talk to that have made mistakes along the way that you can learn from. Like, I would much rather talk to somebody that made mistakes than someone that had everything perfect, because the person that has gone through those roller coasters of different things that they would do differently probably has more wisdom. So when I've gone through things, I've reached out to incredible women in the space, even like Sophia Maruso, who's so brilliant because of the trial and tribulation that she, is that how you say that? Tribulation?
Sure.
I've never even seen it written.
Can we get a grammar check?
Trials and tribulations, but she was a great resource for me because I was like, hey, you know, I think that if I said everything's been perfect and I have no regrets, that would be too polished, right? And so I would change quite a few things. And I would say the biggest thing that I would change, and we can do so much on that, but if I could go back and do anything, I wouldn't have worked every night and every weekend. My 20s, although I had a lot of fun and did a lot of things with friends and things like that, I didn't enjoy myself as much as I wish I had. And entrepreneurship is a slow and steady road. and you can have such longevity in your career. I mean, we just interviewed Denise Austin and she's like, she's going at it. Like if she could go back, I'm sure, to her younger self, like, actually, I don't know. I don't think that she has any regrets, actually. We asked her. But you know, if someone in when I was 21 said, hey, you'll still be doing this and that when you're 50 and 55, then I wouldn't have felt so much urgency of what I had to do. And then now with like social media and so many things are changing and you have to stay on top of everything and like the trends and the algorithms, it's almost like this pressure that it puts on entrepreneurs to keep up. And I think that there needs to be a huge movement of all of us to say, hold on, I'm just going to do my craft. This is how much time I have. These are my boundaries. And this is when I turn off my phone. I mean, I just started the No Scrolling Sundays and I didn't even post. I mean, it was like so freeing to not be on my phone on a Sunday. And as an entrepreneur, I mean, a lot of you that might be listening are like, I'm never on my phones on weekends. Like I always like putting up blog posts, putting together weekly schedules, filming, going live, making sure that all the DMs are answered because the week ahead was coming and I had Zoom calls all week. Like Sundays were my day to catch up with work all day. And so if I could go back, I would literally do no scrolling Sundays. I would do no social media any weekend. I would realize how much time there was. So that's number one, but we could do a whole episode on that. But my goal with this podcast and in the future is to talk with all of you about not just what went well, but what I would change, because I think that that is where the true value is, where I don't want any of you to go through the tough things that I've gone through. And so if I can provide insight to you of making better decisions than I have, that would make me feel really happy and fulfilled. So enjoy your evenings and your weekends,
people. I feel like you already do that.
Really?
Thanks. I mean, if we're working and it's like 5:20, you're like, oof, you got to get out of here. Go enjoy your evening.
I'm like, where is Garrett? Is he pouring a glass of wine yet? I know I thank you for saying that. I want to make sure that even anyone that works with me has really strong work-life balance.
On to the next.
Yeah, I feel like I could talk for an hour on that, so we should move on.
That was great. This one I love. This one's from Sarah. She says, do you recommend working with your husband? My husband and I have ideas, but we're nervous it will affect our relationship.
It depends. So Brian and I have been able to work together because we have very complementary qualities, but different. We can do things together, but not step on each other's toes. And we're both very creative, but we don't really butt heads on a lot of things. So it just depends on your relationship. I think there are a lot of times where you should have a career and separation from your relationship, maybe with your husband, and that would be a really healthy, positive thing. And then I know a lot of couples that work together and partners that work together that are absolutely freaking crushing it together because they get to do that. But I would say the hardest part is turning off. I would say the number one reason that we worked nights and weekends in all of our 20s is that I've been with Brian for 20 years. I met him when I was 19. So as soon as we started everything together, we never turned it off. And so even though it's been amazing and so rewarding, we should have taken more time to be a couple. And now we're trying to do that. We're trying to take more time to be a couple because a lot of those things that we were doing together, like, although it was like so cool, I feel like we should have just gone on a date or something together. So evaluate if your qualities are complementary. You know, if you do start working together, lay down like, hey, this is how much we are going to work together and this is what we're not. These are your roles and responsibilities and these are mine. If, you know, things go sideways on this, this is how I would like to communicate. Understanding each other's love language. You can always take a Hogan test, which is a psychological test. Executives and companies usually take those to learn how to work with each other. I've taken one, which was very interesting. And I actually, the woman who gave me my evaluation at the end was like, wow, you rank the lowest of being motivated by power and money. Like, you can't rank any lower. So any incentive plan that is about being powerful or has money attached to it is not going to drive you. And I'm like, yes, that is true. But Brian knows that because he knows me. If you don't know what drives each other, you gotta figure it out. And if you are having a hard time pulling that from each other, you can totally like do, you know what, in our show notes, let's link a couple like of those tests because there's more. Yeah, I can't even definitely. Think of the names of them right now because I'm so brain dead right now, but you can. And then you can also hire a business coach. You say, I really want to work with my partner and we want to make this work. How can we do this? And that has to do with any relationship. And I think setting it up from the beginning is really important. So
I feel like you guys do a good job.
Thanks.
You guys, us three in the kitchen.
Working together in the kitchen. I know. The funniest thing that Brian does is he paces on the phone. And we're like, you got to get out of here. Don't
call pace. HR. He's going to stop that.
On speaker. We're like, go away. You're too loud.
Okay. Next one is from Lindsay. At what point in your professional life, having accomplished so much and become a source of inspiration for so many, did you ever deal with imposter syndrome? If so, how did you overcome it?
I never knew what imposter syndrome was, like when people would talk about it. And then who did a podcast on it? I don't know if it was Brené Brown. Somebody did it. And I was like, oh my God, I have experienced that. Like, I think that any time where you doubt yourself, it's probably imposter syndrome. And so I think when I was a teenager, I knew I wanted to do fitness and I knew I wanted to teach workouts on the beach and I knew I wanted to empower women. In college, that's when I started teaching group fitness and I was like, I want to create community. I'm already creating community on campus. This is what I want to do for my job. Imposter syndrome set in when it was all the other things that are layered on there. So as a CEO, I was like, how do I be a CEO? And if I could go back, you don't know you're a good CEO until you're not anymore. And so if I could go back and tell myself anything, like as long as you're leading a company and with inspiration, and if there are certain things that you don't know how to do, like the financials or whatever, you can hire someone that is much more brilliant in those areas. Obviously for me, I should not be leading anything about that. But I can lead people and motivate them with, you know, inspiration and a common goal. But I would say in my 20s, I was probably like unsure if I was good enough to have that role. And I was quick to take a step down if someone said that I wasn't good or, you know, and when you're leading a company with a lot of people and a lot of more people get involved, you do get knocked down. And sometimes you don't know that you have imposter syndrome until you believe people. Like if you believe the negative comments or the things that are told to you in person online and you believe it right away without actually like looking at what you're actually really, really talented in, you might actually have imposter syndrome. You don't even realize it. You're just waiting for someone to tell you something negative. And then I definitely had imposter syndrome with the podcast because I was the first time I sat down, I should try to find those recordings. I was like, hello, is this thing on? You know, so used to being on camera versus talking into a mic. And then there's so many incredible podcasts out there. I'm like, am I good enough to be in this space? But really, I think podcast now isn't about being the best, quote unquote, podcast show, radio show, whatever's out there. It's just about connecting on a deeper level with who is in your community. And whether it's 10 people or 100 or thousands, that's what matters. So
definitely,
I think like informing yourself too about what your goals are. But that's another episode. We could do a whole thing on imposter syndrome and how to get through it, because there are many times where I've had to get through it where I didn't know that I was getting through it until I look back. I'm like, oh, wow. So yeah, but I would love to help you all with that because we all have it, even when we don't fully realize it's happening. But you got this, whatever you're doing, you can do whatever the heck you want. Go for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of with that. Serena said, can you have a session where you talk about social media? For example, the do's and don'ts, how to grow followers, and how to deal with negative comments and negative Nancys on social media.
I mean,
that's big.
My following hasn't grown in years and it's okay. I'd rather foster the following that I have than try to be like desperate to grow it. Everyone talks about growing, 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 and it's so much pressure. But really, I would say micro communities, and having really authentic, close, and I know authenticity is thrown around really easily, but having that real connection with a group of people is the most important part. So I would say if you have a smaller following, it's almost more beneficial to you because you can connect people with people on a deeper level. And that's my goal. I would prefer that over, you know, trying to do the latest TikTok trend and going viral and then people being like, wait, why did I just follow you for this viral video? You can't even dance. And now you're trying to talk to me about motherhood. I kind of just went on a tangent, but social media, use it for what you want. Do you want to connect with people? That's the purpose. Then connect with every single person. Connect and respond to every person possible. And then people that you follow, engage with them. The more that you engage with others, someone else might see your comment and love it and follow you because of something really insightful that you said. And then, you know, if your goal is to go on social media and be famous, then do those trends, girl.
You got this.
You got this. Go, go, go. But social media is really tricky. I would say consistency is obviously really important. You can go to Mashable.com every day and see different updates. You can sign up for updates with different platforms. You can follow different social media experts on Instagram and TikTok to get the best tips. I would say that's really, really effective because there's people, when you think about social media, it's almost like at a company, there used to be one person that led social media. Now you need a designated person with maybe a team on Pinterest, because it's completely different. It's a completely different platform than YouTube. And then you have someone, a YouTube team, and then you have an Instagram team / Facebook, which Facebook is so different. And it's the back end of that is always changing. And then TikTok. And then now there's like Be Real. So not to overwhelm you or anything. But if you take one person's advice, they may not know that you can run an entire business on Pinterest. And then also try different things on different platforms, because you might be more of a YouTube person with YouTube shorts than a TikTok person. Someone that I know was just testing out all their content on TikTok versus YouTube shorts, and they're performing better on YouTube and they enjoy it a lot more. And so I was like, you don't have to do TikTok if you don't enjoy it. And so now they're just going to focus over there. So I think like when you try the different platforms, then you can figure out also what works for you. What I mean by that, what's working with you and your goals, like connecting with people. And so if you notice that you connect with people more on certain platforms, then you can stick with that. But now that we're talking about that, I know every time I have to burp, we just go to that. Just kind of lazy in there, but like, yeah. Girls burp too. And what was I going to say? Oh, own your list. So no matter what you do on social media, because it's always changing, just have a newsletter, have something that you can collect those people and keep them close to you. Because again, I will say it a million times, if your goal is to connect with people, which it most likely is with social media, then, you know, if Instagram goes away tomorrow, make sure you get their email address or something like that. And you can do that in many ways with like a freebie or something that you share with them. So that way, if the platform does change, it's not your fault. Like, we're not telling Instagram to change, but then you can say, hey, I'm doing this over here on YouTube or whatever the next new thing is. So I know it's hard to keep up. In the show notes, we will also include a few people that offer really great advice.
Something else I feel like you do really good on is you're very authentic. And
I thought you were going to say I'm really good at social media. I feel like I'm the worst.
You're great at social media. No, you're very authentic. And then
I post once a week.
You do. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's authentic. You're like, hey, I can't post today. And that's fine.
Hey, I was up every 2 hours last night with a baby. I can't even write a caption right now.
You're like, my brain is not on.
Yeah.
And you just have the most supportive community.
It's so nice. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's... Oh my God. Okay. Oh my God. I was going to say goodness and then God at the same time. Oh my God. What is that song? Hold on. Is it called Get You the Moon? Yeah, Get You the Moon. Hold on. Right?
I don't know. It's not ringing a bell.
Hold on. An ad is about to play. Oh yeah, this is it. Purpose?
Mm-hmm. Didn't you do the lives that you did?
I did a live to this.
Oh my gosh, it was like a yoga.
Yes. Hold on. I might cry, but when I feel defeated, worn out, sad, I feel all these things, you guys. When I feel like I just should give up, which I've felt that many times, like when I feel disconnected, I listen to this song, and this is my song dedicated to any of you that are connected with me. And the lyrics are, you gave me a shoulder when I needed it. You showed me love when I wasn't feeling it. You helped me fight when I was giving it. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. You made me laugh when I was losing it, because you are the reason why I'm still hanging on. And you're the reason why my head is still above water. Like, you got great. I'm both crying. And I taught a live yoga to that because, like, there are, like, entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. And as long as you're connected to community, like, community is so important. Not only, like, that's why social media is such a beautiful thing. And then it brings people together in real life, which it brought, that's how we got brought together. Yeah. So, anyway, I can't even read all those lyrics, but that's my song dedicated to all of you. And if you ever feel sad too, you listen to that, cause we all have each other.
I love that so much.
I should find that live.
It's so good.
Gotta find it.
I still do it sometimes.
Oh, you do?
I'll send it to you. I did it the other day. Okay. Oh no, fan just turned on.
I'll turn the heat off. Can you hear that? You guys let us know if you can hear that. But we're going to try not to.
We got this.
Why is it so loud? What is that?
I don't know.
Okay. It's probably Brian in the garage.
Honestly, probably.
What is that noise? Okay, we're going to continue because we're not going to stress too much. But if you can hear a buzzing in the background, we're really sorry.
It's not us.
Not us.
Okay. The next one is from Isabel. How do you go about nurturing your creativity, especially in a world that is so rigid and given all the other commitments in your life? I find that my creativity has become somewhat dormant over time for those reasons. And I would like to nurture my creative brilliance.
Ooh.
That's so good.
Yeah, that is so good. I go long lengths of time without being creative. And that is actually what motivates me and what drives me. So I tend to get really sad if I haven't been creative in a long time. Mm-hmm. With life and everything that you have going on, like, I know that you have massive amounts of things going on that, of course, like, if you could just not be creative for a while, you could make time for all the other things and all the other people that need you. But you just have to carve out that time if it's what's important to you. And so disconnecting from everybody and connecting with your creativity. So when I need to come up with a creative concept, maybe for work or something like that, I have to disconnect and I have to go do something that is so peaceful that I can only hear my own thoughts. I cannot be creative when I'm chasing after Bella with Colette crying and needing me. I can't really get into my thoughts and stuff. So I actually come up with a lot of my ideas in the shower. Late night when everyone's sleeping, a lot of times I can't sleep because my mind is racing about fun things that I want to do. And I'm like, oh, and I have to write it down in a yoga class because I don't have my phone. Has to be like a super zen yoga class, can't be sculpted. It has to be like a time that I'm not thinking. Walking by water. There's something about water that is so meditative for me that I'm able to tap into my creativity. So with all the craziness that you have going on in your schedule, try, if it's enough, once a month or twice a month that you're like, okay, this 1 hour time block, maybe it's during a nap time, maybe it's during a lunch time, Maybe you have to ask a friend or a family member to give you that time somehow. I know a lot of my, you know, full-time moms are like, an hour to myself hasn't happened in years. You have to ask for help. You have to say, you know, this is what's going to be really good for my mental health, my creativity. I need 1 hour. And then if it's with a friend, maybe you say, maybe you do some kind of trade with each other. Like, I'll watch the kids for this hour. And then you go, like, if they don't want to be creative, but they're like, I want to go get my nails done, like, whatever it is. but I say that because I know even just saying 2 hours of me time, even per month, is not possible for a lot of people. So I want to make this realistic. So ask for help. Take the time for yourself. Go to a place that you know that can be creative. My best ideas have been literally in the shower or sitting by the beach or like a lake.
Oh, it's water.
Yeah, it's water.
Even that shower. It's water.
It really is. It's crazy. And then now, like, I need to be creative again. I'm feeling it.
It's starting to rain.
Oh, yeah. Should I just go outside in
the
rain?
You should probably just go outside.
Okay. I'm afraid of lightning. All right.
Same. Okay, the next question is from Virgin. She says, how do you plan your content? What does your calendar look like? You seem productive, but not busy. How would you like to answer that?
Sorry, water in my mouth. I almost just spit my water all over the machine in front of us. Or what is this called? Machine?
It's a machine. It's a podcast machine. It's working hard.
I almost spit my water on all the podcast equipment. I'm happy that I give off I'm organized and productive, but not busy vibe. I hope that I actually don't give that off. I hope that you all see how hard it is. If you do not hear from me for a day, an hour, or a week, it is because I am deep in baby food, milk, drool, chasing after a baby, dealing with big feelings of a toddler. I don't show a lot of that stuff because I want to make sure to protect them as well. You know, I think like the occasional family photo or cute things here and there, but I don't want to obviously set up a camera and show Bella having her latest biggest meltdown about something. But, you know, it's a lot. So I think balance is really hard for me. I'm still trying to figure it out. Carving out time is important. I do think having things scheduled is the best. Last night I was looking through workout classes in town if I wanted to sign up. I didn't.
The thought was there. Yeah. That's all that matters.
Lacey knows. It's a rare occasion these days, but if I had actually commit, then I probably would have said, hey, these are the classes that I'm going to take. I'd love support. And like Lacey, that's where she's like my lifeline. And then I would be able to, you know, carve out that time. I do think having something where you can visualize, commit, write it down, that's part of committing. So signing up for something. And if it's content, if it's a calendar of something, putting it in your calendar. And if I don't have it scheduled, it doesn't happen. So many things can come up in your day that take priority over what your goals are. And as a woman, you are going to be so nurturing and selfless that, of course, you're going to put everything else above your own goals. Like, that's just what we do as women. Mm-hmm. And then if you're an empath like myself too, which
same
I'm
here
working with my therapist on that, she's like, what are you doing for yourself? Then you definitely, like, I'll watch the news and it will derail me.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh my goodness, this is happening in the world. How can I just possibly go record a podcast about positivity when this is happening? Like, mm-hmm. I feel so much when I see some things, you too.
Yeah.
That, like, there are some days where Lacey and I don't achieve anything except we talk about the sadness or the things that are happening and, like, we can't even focus. And so there's a lot of things that you can control in life and there's a lot of things that you cannot. And you can give back, you can volunteer, you can do the best you can there. But if you need to do things for yourself, again, visualize, commit, write it down, grab a calendar, schedule it. There are so many amazing tools out there. And also really strong boundaries, too, with different aspects of your life. Calendly, which is really great. We just started using that. You can actually make yourself available on your calendar during certain hours instead of people just booking something because, oh, I saw this quote. This is really good, you guys. Oh, that sound was Brian in the garage.
Oh, was it? Of course, our other coworker.
Oh, HR. In 2023, we're normalizing not confusing someone's free time with their availability.
Whoa.
And that is from an account called Female Collective. I saw that and I saved it because I was like, wow, if someone has free time, you don't know what they are not doing for themselves. Mm-hmm. If someone's like going back to the question before, if you see someone sitting by a lake or the ocean or maybe taking a long shower, you don't know if that's the only time that they've had for themselves in months. And it's so important to never judge someone what they're doing their personal time because you don't know what the rest of their day looks like or the night that they've had. Even as a mom, like if I've been up 8 times a night and then I go to the grocery store completely disheveled and maybe someone talks to me and I just feel like I'm not even making sense, you just don't know the night that someone has. And then that's why even in the service business, if you order a coffee and they get it wrong, like you just don't know what someone's life looks like. I don't remember the question you asked me. I have gone completely.
Confession. I don't know what I asked you either, but this is good. Let's keep rolling.
I think it's about being productive and not being busy. We're all busy, but I do think following people, we kind of expect that they're going to be sharing all their moments, but I definitely don't show. I don't share all my moments because I can't. And then I also, I've become more private now as a mom.
And I think that's honestly really beautiful because you're devoting that time to being present instead of just being on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes I'll set up the phone and like record. Like I did that one video where I'm like, this was like a week.
Yeah.
Being like, here I am. We'll share that as well because I did that one time. I was like, here I am breastfeeding. Here I am taking out the trash. But Brian usually takes out the trash.
It was that one day that he wasn't here.
One day that he wasn't here and I'm like, look what I did. I actually recorded that video to show him. I took the trash out, honey. And, you know.
But just holding down the fort.
I had to wear Colette doing it. And I'm like,
remember?
How do single moms do this?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I don't even know. Like there's some days I come in. I've had my workout. I've had my coffee peacefully. I've had my smoothie. I'm like, oh, how are you? Have you had a great morning? And you're like,
just got my ass kicked by Bella. Mornings, trying to get a kid to preschool, you get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like it is, you got to be patient. Mm. Like the biggest thing is, you know, I saw this quote too. I quote a lot of things, but being a parent is not controlling your children's emotions. It's controlling your own. And so if your child is having a meltdown about their shoes not being sparkly, it's not our job to be like, oh my God, like, why are they crying? Why are they freaking out? That is a big deal to them at that moment. And so to work with them on that and then to also control our own emotions is the hardest thing. It's almost easier to be like, it's not a big deal. You don't have sparkly shoes today. Just get in the car. Like, I have never said that, you guys, but if you have, I totally get it because that's the easier, quicker route to take is to be like, is almost to minimize their feelings. I'm actually a better parent now that I've been an entrepreneur for so long because the amount of people that minimize your feelings that are really important to you, can be really hurtful. And so now I just, anytime that Bella's having like a meltdown, I'm like, this is the most important thing to her in this moment. And it's up to me. Like this morning, I was like, I totally understand why you don't want to go to school. It's a Monday.
Yeah. No one wants to work on Mondays.
It's so hard. Mondays are my worst day.
That question back then where we were like, you're always productive. Mondays are our day that it's a slow. It's an uphill battle.
I'm coming off a weekend of like, literally, I'm like, oh my God, like just weekends. Mondays for parents especially are just like, whoa. Mondays are tough for everybody. But I put down Bella's outfit. I put her shoes on the bed And I sat in her rocking chair. So I wasn't like at the door. She didn't think I was like trying to rush her. I sat down in the rocking chair in her room and I was like, do you want to sit on mommy? We can just talk about this. And then she, you know, she was running away from me and she was like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to put on my underwear. So I sat down and I was like, do you want to come sit on mommy? She's like, okay. And I said, I totally understand that you don't want to do this right now. And it's really upsetting you, huh? And I learned, oh my goodness, we'll include some of my favorite parenting Instagrams, but it totally worked. Like right away, she was relaxed. She sat with me and I said, you go for a little bit. We'll pick you up. Everything's going to be okay. Your teachers and your friends are waiting for you. I have days where I don't want to do things. And she's like, oh, you do? I'm like, of course. You know, just validating how they're feeling, but it's literally the same. It's dealing with kids is kind of the same as dealing with like a husband.
I love that comparison so much.
And a woman, validate how they feel.
Yeah.
If they're crying, they're probably hungry or they have to poop or they haven't slept. And yeah, sometimes you just have to give them a treat and they're fine.
And then they're fine and then everything's okay.
Toddler's husband, same thing.
Sometimes me too.
Yeah, and me. Oh my God, I just need chocolate. I'm good.
Okay, this one is from Julianne. She said, I'd love to hear you speak more about your role of leadership as a woman and what it looks like for you. What are the challenges you face? Your advice for young female leaders that are just starting out? As women, how do we be successful leaders and not feel guilty for our success? Or for being direct in our communication style? How did you learn to believe in yourself that you've earned your seat at the table? That's like, wow.
Can I answer this later? Because
you put a pen in it.
Still going through it. It's so hard. This could be an entire episode. First of all, you deserve a seat at the table. Second of all, do not change yourself to make other people feel comfortable. Do not dim your shine because others, you know, are blinded by it. It's not your job to make people feel comfortable with your success. And if you are direct, but kind and respectful, people will respect it. And if you have a team and you're leading and you're kind, direct, and respectful, and they're, you know, and it's really, really difficult. It's not on you. And for years, I feel like I changed myself to make people more comfortable. And then if anything, it makes things awkward. And so it took me a while to become the leader that I am today. And then now I feel like I wish I could go back and be more firm. You know, because when you first start out and you start hiring a team, you want everyone to like you. And again, your job isn't to make people like you. People will love you. And people are there because they believe in your message. And they will respect you the more direct that you are. The more wishy-washy you are, then, you know, someone might take advantage. And so being a leader, just know that you deserve that spot, especially if it's something that you're building or you're earning at your work, or say you're moving up and you get a promotion and someone else doesn't. Of course, like, we all feel guilty. We all feel bad about things, but you earned it and you should own it and take that and meditate on it and think about and journal about it and be like, I have what I always dreamt of. I have what I used to pray for. And it is not your job to make yourself smaller because you feel like maybe that's making people feel uncomfortable, because I promise you, you're probably inspiring them. And most likely is more of in you and not wanting to make anyone feel bad. And I feel that way a lot. Like, I feel a little, like, feel like I'm having a hard time getting the words out, because I do feel that way too. And I feel like the second part, what was the second part of the question?
The second part is, how did you learn to believe in yourself that you've earned your seat at the table?
I feel like I've personally been knocked down in certain situations where it kind of goes back to that imposter syndrome, where you believe it quickly If you have self-doubt, and that's what I didn't realize, no one has your superpower, because your ability to see things the way that you do is what makes you amazing. And if someone doesn't understand you or your vision or what you need, then that means that they have just a different quality too. And so I feel like we should do a whole episode on leadership and even bring a coach in about it, because I would love to learn. You guys, I'm saying this, but I've been in rooms where I make myself so small. I have been in meetings where I feel like I can't say anything. And when I do, I feel stupid. I have felt really, really silly sharing my ideas. You got this. Patience, good boundaries, clear, respectful, mindful, considerate, human, humility, and do things with so much love, because everyone in that room just needs to feel love, especially the ones that are nasty to you. They're the ones that
they need a little extra love that day.
They need an extra hug. Oh yeah, I also hug in the workplace. Okay.
I know. We hugged on the very first day, like the first moment I met you. We're like, should we hug?
When she was leaving, I was like, don't hug her. Keep it professional. She's working my house. I was like, bye, thank you. Gave her a hug.
Okay, that is one of, honestly, I'm being dead serious. That is one of the best qualities you have as a leader, is you always think. Doesn't mean that you're being too kind or unprofessional, but you're always like thankful for the work that someone is doing. Mm. And you always say thank you.
Thanks.
And I think that's powerful to have like someone who's appreciating.
I can't imagine not thanking someone for believing in what you're all doing together. And I don't consider myself a boss. I never have. I never used to like when people would say like, you're my boss. I'd be like, no, we're on the same team and we're working together. We're so together in all this. Like you can either have a boss mentality or a mentor and leader mentality. So a boss to me kind of orders people to do things for them. And then a leader leads by example, and everyone is inspired by that. And they almost mirror that. I want to complete this in the same enthusiasm as that person. So I think, having enthusiasm as a leader, you guys, we have to do a whole episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Because when you're enthusiastic, your team is. When you're feeling low, I'm telling you, everyone feels it. And so that takes a lot of self-work and like leaving your shit at home, having the power to do that and making sure that no one wants your shit at work. Like, and it's so hard because Lacey literally works here, so she sees it all.
See it all.
So that's hard. But I do think, what is it called? Compartmentalizing? I don't know how to pronounce things.
It's fine. Compartmentalizing?
Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you.
I got you.
Oh, that was a big part about having podcasts, is I was like, how am I going to do a podcast when there's a lot of big words that I don't know?
So many big words.
I'm learning with all of you. If you, any of you don't know how to say that, Lacey just showed us.
Compartmentalize.
Yes. And I forget the question you asked, but.
You know, I did too, but I loved that. That was great. Okay. The final question is from Maggie. What would you say is your bravest moment in the workplace?
Bravery is going into something not knowing what's on the other side and not knowing what's going to happen. And so many of you are incredibly brave, especially through what the world has been through in the last few years. I feel like I've made a lot of decisions that I didn't know what was going to happen. The biggest decisions that I've made that I would say scared me, where I just knew it was best for everybody, but I was probably almost sacrificing myself. Like, bravery is that, right? Like, you go into something sacrificing yourself for everybody else. When I think about really brave people in the last few years, or, you know, the nurses and the doctors on the front lines when COVID first hit. And they weren't sure what was going to happen to them, but they were like, I'm going to do this for everybody. And so in the workplace, it's different, and a different scale of obviously not saving the world, but in a different way, you're going into something and you're sacrificing your own self for either your entire team or for everyone who is part of your organization or who follows you. And so there's been many, many moments where I've sacrificed myself and even my own happiness. I mean, Lacey sees this, like, where I'm like, so those moments where I don't even know if that's necessarily a good thing, because you do have to take care of yourself. And I also think another really brave thing that anyone can do is educate yourself. Mm-hmm. I know that we all have our thing that we know something about, and that's what we're comfortable with. Being brave is also doing something that maybe you're not totally comfortable in. And so making that decision, like, I'm going to listen to podcasts about business, branding, law, so that way you can arm yourself and protect yourself and have a better outcome for you. And that takes bravery in a way where you're in uncharted territory, listening to people where you don't even know half the things that they're saying, but you are educating yourself, going to Barnes & Noble and buying a book on a topic that you have no idea about, but you know that it will help you, your organization, or your future, or your career. And I think that that's really brave. Going back to school is really brave. I've thought about going back to school so many times.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's only so much that you can learn from either a podcast or a book. Like, I'm a really good student where I love sitting and hearing one person speaking to a group. I love that. I'd rather sit in a room and listen to somebody or go to a conference than sit and read a book, because then you can get distracted. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Like, I love being in places where you can't have your phone out and you have to be focused. Mm-hmm. So if you are thinking about a career change, or you're thinking about doing something that you know nothing about, you can educate yourself. And I know that that is going into a completely different area that you have no idea what the outcome will be. I feel like I'm losing my voice. You don't know what that means for you, your family, your future, your job, your goals. And I know that so many of you lose sleep over that, where you're like, I want change. I want something different. I want something that will make me feel happier. I want something more fulfilling and rewarding. You can do something brave, and you can do something different. So I guess we'll leave it at that. My voice is completely going away now.
My goodness, too.
You should hear Lacey and I testing. We're like, testing? Testing 1, 2, 3.
It's ridiculous. Good thing that I'm the one who edits this.
I know. Thank goodness. Okay. Well, thank you, Lacey, for coming on.
Of course.
You choose the date that you want to do your interview, and everyone will send in their questions.
Okay.
I think they'll be really fascinated with how we met, what brought us together, because I'm entering my woo-woo era.
I love it.
Yes.
I'm here for it.
My neighbor actually saged the house. I did all these things this weekend with a healer. But literally Lacey manifested this job. So
I did.
It will be a really good lesson for all of us that when you want something, you manifest that shit. Mm-hmm. I've sworn a lot today.
It's now an explicit podcast.
Oh no. I'm also in a mood. You know what? I'm in a mood.
I know.
I'm swearing. I'm from Boston. It just happens.
It comes out.
It does come out, but that'll be really fun. So we'll put the questions out there. Oh, you know what? You can text me.
Yes.
Your questions for Lacey at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604. And you can start it with Lacey, L-A-C-Y, and you can ask questions for her, and it'll be really fun. And then also, if you have an AMA for the future, so Ask Me Anything episode, just start it with AMA, and then we can actually go through and see all of your text messages. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Lacey, for jumping in here.
Of course.
And thank you for editing this, because
I got you.
We talked for an hour.
It's a two-man team over here.
A two-woman team.
Two-woman team. We got this.
Content is queen over here, so we're getting this out tomorrow. And I love you all. I'm sorry I cried. I'm not even getting my period. I'm just so emotional lately. And we will see you at the next episode. Please review.
Subscribe.
Yeah. Please subscribe. Leave your amazing feedback. We love reading it. It makes our day. And we'll see you at the next episode.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning into Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram at Katrina Scott. Also, for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.